Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others, it makes them bleed deeper and something larger than life, than his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized. Jeff.
Ooh. Good stuff.
That's kind of the high point of this show, because we unfortunately have to talk about a really shitty match.
Oh, man. This is one. We've been talking about this one for a long time.
Is this going to be worse than we're even braced for?
I think so.
I am really afraid. I don't want this to ruin my love for these two characters, but yeah. I'm worried that it may. I mean, I know I've seen bits and pieces of this before. I just don't think that I've hit record and had a discussion about it while watching the entire match.
Yeah, you and I both. And so we'll start off with everybody knows that Payoff Pod. You know where to find us on social media, but why are we doing this? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Yeah. And so this is one where you and I for a long time have said, like, we have to cover this one when it gets close. And so for just basic terms, we're on the anniversary, you know, it's the week of. You know, from when it happened, and we're going to do it. We're going to deal with it. It's one where I set this kind of calendar for us to kind of looking at, but this one that you and I both kind of set. I have personally not seen this match in full probably since clips of it, you know, when it did happen. And then just over the years that you don't see clips of it very often, plain and simple. Even like, you know, when Warrior had his comeback and things like that, and it's not one that kind of pops up for obvious reasons. And so we will talk about what we could find is surrounding this one. But, you know, as we say, sometimes we cover some great matches around here. And then this is, I think, when we talk about covering shitty matches too, I think this is going to be probably the shittiest of shit, plain and simple. There's no other way to cut it. And so I will say, and Tom, I'm sure you will say it too, and you kind of let us know, but if we are going to punish ourselves and watch this one, I highly encourage all of our listeners to go punish yourself and watch this one too.
You damn well better watch this with us.
Yes. And so I will post however many illegal YouTube links I have to this week to make sure that it is out there and people can watch it too on their own, because, oh boy. Yep. You know, it's just one of those where our colleagues, you know, what is the top turd on the, what do you call the top turd on the pile? It's still shit. So, and this is shit. So, again, we haven't watched in a while. Maybe we're going to be surprised here, but I don't think we are. So,
all right. No, I was going to say, yeah, you know why we're covering it. They're icons. This is the 8.5 year later rematch. You know, they bring in Warrior with this big money contract. WCW is just hammering away, big buy rates, big ratings. But this just didn't work. So let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so we're at Halloween Havoc 98. We're once again in Vegas, MGM Grand Garden Arena, 10,000 in attendance. We start this show off with Chris Jericho retaining the WCW World Television Championship by submission. against Raven. I really enjoyed Raven in WCW, man. I thought it was, you know, it was different look, different, you know, shtick. And so I always enjoyed him there. Raven's flock. They did some decent stuff with him.
Yep.
Wrath defeated Meng. Okay.
Sure.
Disco Inferno defeated Juventud Guerrero. Okay. Alex Wright defeated Fit Finlay. Okay.
A lot of bathroom matches here.
Perry Saturn defeated Lodi. Okay.
All right.
Billy Kidman defeated Disco Inferno because we needed a second Disco Inferno match on this show to retain his Cruiserweight Championship. Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell defeating the tag team championship team of the Giant and Scott Steiner. Okay. Then we got Rick Steiner defeating Scott Steiner in a singles match. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to stop you for a sec here because yes. When I put this card in here, I like our shared notes. I didn't actually read the card fully until you're going through it right now. What the fuck is this card?
Oh, it's terrible. And this is 98 WCW. I mean, look at the guys on this show. I mean, you know, it was terrible.
This is some, oh boy. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, okay. A horrible show.
Let me know what else is going on.
And you know what I'm going to say in a few minutes about the screw up. So,
go ahead.
So, okay. So then we get Scott Hall defeating Kevin Nash by count out. Okay. I mean, did anyone really want to see a Hall and Nash match or feud? Probably not.
And go to a count out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with those two guys. It's just, did you really want to see him there? And then, okay. The last three matches, I guess, are somewhat interesting. Bret Hart, who's your U.S. heavyweight champion, defeating Sting by knockout in a 15-minute match. I mean, they just... Because
when I think Bret Hart, I think knocking out his competitors.
Yeah, I mean, this is less than a year after Sting's triumphant return, the big thing, and now he's, you know, in red paint. He's doing this Bret Hart feud. Ugh, U.S. heavyweight championship. Okay. Then we get to Hogan Warrior, 14 minutes. We'll cover that shortly. And then your main event, 10-minute match, Goldberg defeating DDP. So you've built DDP up to that spot. Had a decent match, but the pay-per-view went out early because they went way over their time. So this
depending on where you lived, I may have not seen it. Right.
Yeah, 25% of the systems, okay, might have been higher that shut off early, okay? Then the next night they re-air this Goldberg DDP match and it breaks the all-time cable record of the Hogan Goldberg thing, which is just crazy to think about. So
and we'll talk about it more, but it spawned because they 3 hours and they went over and some of this garbage matches on here and they didn't tell like the TV providers and shit. So it's like,
Yeah. And then you had people pissed off because it was like, well, hey, I paid for that pay-per-view and now you're giving it away the next night. So they were pissed off. It's just a nightmare. Just an absolute nightmare. You know, man, you made a great point. What a shitty, shitty card this was. Oh, and these Halloween Havocs were some of the biggest pay-per-views they did each year. So that's all the time I'm going to take up on that card. But storyline standpoint, obviously, massive history between these two previously. But walk us through the WCW version of this feud.
Yeah, this is one. And so I'll lay this out a little bit here, starting with you had it. Whether you know this story or not, so it was Bash at the Beach 1996, a couple of years prior to this. This is when you get the outsiders against, you know, the loyalist Hogan, Randy Savage, you know, and then really the Hogan turn for what we now know for him as, you know, Hollywood Hogan. And that was like, you know, the formation and kind of having that, and you know, being the NWO and having all of that, trading or giving up the red and yellow, going to the black and, you know, white, you know, totally changing his persona, dyeing his beard, changing his outfit, all this different stuff. And so, at this point, so we're going back to 1996 at this point. Hogan, you know, part of NWO, having all these different feuds with different people. You had the Giant. You had Lex Luger. You had the kind of gimmick celebrity matches with, you know, the Hogan or, you know, Dennis Rodman, that type of stuff. Yeah, you know, all these
Jay Leno.
Things. Yeah, you had the Jay Leno stuff as well, too. And so, and this, too, is when, you know, we know now, like, like Hogan's degree of involvement in the behind the scenes and the booking was way more than any of us knew at the time. And so, and kind of having that, you had him taking on Sting as well too. You know, just kind of different things, you know, Randy Savage after them feuding coming back to NWO, you know, just a lot of different things happening, you know, Roddy Piper as well too. And like the Giant again, like just a lot of things happening here. And so, you know, and kind of going back and forth, but then you also had the kind of split at this point too. Like it got to the point where you had the NWO Hollywood, but then you also had the NWO Wolfpack. And so, and kind of what was happening, and it was really the split between Hogan and Nash and them really just booking themselves into the top of the card. And this, like, you know, after last week's, and we talk about like the cruisers never really getting a shot, like really at this point in like 1998 and like the crew, they just weren't going to get that main event spot. Like it was going to be your big names. It was going to be Hogan. It was going to be NWO. Like that's what you were going to see at the top of the card, like in WCW. Like that's just how it was going to be. And so, really though, we get though to kind of, you know, there's the, and we said Dennis Rodman, there's also the Carl Malone fight as well too. And so just, you know, there was a lot of garbage leading up to this. And so
really stressing you out.
It's really, you know, it's what you and I, you sighed a whole lot, like just reading through the card and even me, like there's just a lot of like garbage storylines that were kind of happening. And so, this was, 1998, you had hit with Dennis Rodman and DDP, Karl Malone. So you had that match as well too. Like you said, this was the Jay Leno as well too. And all that. So there was just the lead up to this match. And so that would have been, that Bash at the Beach would I say was kind of the big pay, like the one, their big four, if you will, pay-per-view. You also had the Road Wild, that summer as well too, which brings us into Halloween Havoc. And so up to through this point in 1998, like Hulk Hogan, like the best way for me to describe it was not Hulk Hogan. He wasn't, not even just as like Hollywood Hogan. He was not what I say you and I remember him as being in the ring and just, you know, there was leg drops and there was Hogan being Hogan, but this was in so many ways like a shell of who he was.
Ooh, tough words.
Thank you. I know. And so, and I, you know, it just, he was not at the top of his game. He just was not, you know, looking back, and maybe it was booking and he had just kind of given up and quit a little bit too, you know, but at the same time, like just, he was not at the top of his game at this point. And so, so that's where Hogan sits. Okay. And him coming off of his Jay Leno match, you know, real, real big stuff there. So what happened though with the Warrior and kind of what was going on here? So again, we'll go back a couple of years, 1996, you had, Warrior. It was, I say coming back, he took on Hunter Hearst Helmsley at WrestleMania 12, you know, had some time in the ring. And of course, as we all know, like the voices of the Warriors, it's, you know, that's us, you know, kind of having that, had a match with Goldust, kind of, you know, it was in your house. He ended up winning the match, but didn't, it was a count out, count out. And so it was a title match, didn't win the Intercontinental title. But it's, and then this is where things get a little bit weird in WWF at the time and kind of what was happening. And so it was actually supposed to be a match where he was supposed to team with Shawn Michaels, Ahmed Johnson. They were going to take Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, and Vader. It was In Your House 9. So it would have been July 1996. Everything I could find, and Twitter let us know, like it was just behind the scenes, God only knows kind of what was happening, you know, type thing of, you know, Taker saying he was taking time off for, you know, just not showing up and like death of his father and all this other stuff. But then Vince saying like bullshit, like you didn't get along with your father, like, you know, leave it to Vince to fucking call somebody out on that. And so, but either way, you know, he was missing house shows at this point too. And so the behind the scenes politics of this played into it just huge. And so, you know, it was also reports too of like it boiling down to like merchandise and Warrior not getting a cut of his merchandise. And so that instead of him wrestling with Shawn Michaels and Ahmed Johnson, it was actually Psycho Sid who was put in that match. And so,
Did I ever tell you the story of why I remember this so well? Because I was supposed to go to a house show like leading up to it. And that was when this whole thing happened. They went on TV and they announced that, hey, it was like Pittsburgh, Detroit, and one other city that, you know, Warrior was not going to show and there'd be a replacement. It was Sid. So yeah, I that's why I remember this. I was pissed off. I wanted to see the Ultimate Warrior in person.
Who doesn't? Right. Yeah. You know, so that was really like breach of contract, is the best way to put it, is why in 1996 he was done with WWE. And so then the line I saw was "at great expense" was the line I saw in a couple different places. I don't know what that's attributed to, but I kept seeing it in a few places, whether that was on the show or just kind of what it was. But in May of 1998 is when he was brought over to WCW and signed. And so he was actually a part of a stable. He was the, while you had the New World Order, the NWO, he was the One Warrior Nation, the OWN. And so it kind of stylized the same way with the W being capitalized and things like that. And so he did not, it was, again, it was a very weird warrior. He would use like kidnapping and like magic smoke, quote unquote, and like, you know, to kind of, you know, use like trap doors in the ring. It was just,
it was stupid. It was really hokey. It didn't work. Yeah.
And like shells again of like who these guys were and not what you were like used to seeing back in the day. It wasn't a thing. And so, kind of knowing that, it's like, and I say that and I bring these things up because when when you say Hogan and Warrior, they invoke, you know, images and thoughts and memories of what we want them to be. This was not that. I needed to look into it more. There was actually a story of like Davey Boy Smith, like actually almost like paralyzing himself on one of the
shows. Oh yeah. Yeah. He took a backdrop on that.
And so I had forgotten about that. And so that was one of those as well too. So in this point, and it was one of the, so when he came back in 1998, up until this Halloween Havoc of that, you know, that year. And so, which would have been October, he only had 3 matches, which was kind of weird. And so, and I don't think like, I remember him being back, but I didn't really remember like just how little. And so the first was a War Games match. It was Fall Brawl where he was a member of Team WCW. And then he also had, it was actually the winner. They got a shot at Goldberg's title at Halloween Havoc. He had and DDP ended up winning that one. So the Fall Brawl match, you had a,
which I didn't remember either until I started doing my research. I didn't remember that at all.
No, and maybe that's one that we need to get on the list. And so, but then there was that match at Fall Brawl. There was the Monday Nitro where he teamed with Sting to defeat Hogan and Bret Hart. And then this match. And so we will talk about why there was only 3 after this one.
Yeah, the whole point of covering this is the aftermath, by the way.
Yeah, no, and when I, and that's what, yeah, full disclosure, when Tom and I were talking, I was telling him, I was like, dude, I have a lot in the aftermath. So, and you said, well, we'll breeze through the build. And so you've got Hogan doing whatever the fuck Hogan's doing. And then you've got this third match. And so, and then just to kind of set the stage for this, I thought this was a kind of a good way to kind of set up. There's actually from Sports Illustrated. And it said, back at WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior had a wrestling match. It was not a particularly good wrestling match. There was this ridiculous test of strength that went on for over 20 minutes. And Ultimate Warrior was like the early 90s version of Roman Reigns, great looking, limited move sec, archetype. But it's still remembered as one of the most legendary moments in WWE history, simply for what it meant. Hogan was passing on the title to the younger, hungrier, slightly more popular kid, and everyone in America picked a side. It was classic TV wrestling symbolism in its prototypical form. The first proof many kids had that wrestling could be as big and real and triumphant as you want it to be. Like, and so that is what like the stage was for that match. And now trying to recapture some of that magic, you have this match now in 1998. And so just something, you know, food for thought and something to have as we kind of get into the match here. So Tom, like, thoughts before we do jump into it though.
Dude, I got nothing for you.
You're ready. I know you're excited. You are like, you just want to get into it. I can tell. Yeah.
This is going to be like watching a car crash. All right. So, Halloween Havoc 1998, we're at the 2-hour and 38-minute mark, and Jeff is going to, just got a text from my buddy Joe. Jeff is going to push out, a bunch of bootleg links, because if you're going to listen to this episode, you have to watch the match. That's it. You don't have to watch it right now if you're in the car, but you have to at some point commit to us that you will at least throw this match on in the background and watch it if we have to at some point. So,
absolutely.
2-hour, 38-minute mark, Halloween Havoc 1998. Jeff, are you ready?
As ready as I can be, man. Let's do it.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right. Here we go. Hogan in the ring. Or not in the ring. He's outside the ring.
So you got Warrior in the ring, standing on the turnbuckle. You got Hogan outside the ring, and the feather boa, kind of walking around the outside, playing up. Something that I'll note in the aftermath notes here, I'll kind of spoil a little bit. So Warrior came out to a shower of booze. And so Tom, shower of booze, like, you know, they were not a fan of.
Well, him, watched the entrance. I mean, the music was just awful.
Yeah, and there was that too. And so Tom will try and there's some certain spots here where we'll try and play up the crowd a little bit. Really
love this now. He's now having Nick Patrick check the Warrior to make sure.
But the crowd sounds dead.
It's completely dead. They kind of cheered.
And so again, you know, you've got Warrior kind of pacing the ring right now. Very slow to get going here. But again,
Warrior booing the shit out of him.
It's a Warrior got back up on the turnbuckle to try and pump the crowd up, and nobody got up, like nothing. Like there was very little reaction even from the crowd.
I mean, I will say this, Warrior looks fantastic.
He does. Yeah. Both guys, like they do, they don't look bad. Yeah. And so it doesn't make a ton of sense. Like why we're about to see what's going to happen. And so, it's a Warrior still in his long trench coat, like hitting Hogan. And to point out again, every single, like there was one punch that knocked Hogan out. Nobody, like everybody's in their seat. Nobody is standing up. Nobody is reacting at all.
I'm telling you, the crowd is like dead.
And this is just weird. Yeah. It almost feels weird, especially like after coming off that quote and kind of seeing, you know, what they said, like trying to recapture some of that. It's just one of those. And so, just weird.
Yeah. The Warrior, man, the OWN thing is like really stupid. I don't understand that at all. I don't know if that had anything to do with like his weird ass comic book that he was trying to do as well, but ugh.
Well, and like they were obviously like high on factions at this point. Like, you know, because you had both NWOs and then you've got this as well too. I'm not gonna lie, I'm trying to find a list as we're kind of watching this of who were the members of One Warrior Nation, and I'm struggling. And if people want to let us know, I'm struggling.
I think it may have just been him. I think it was a one man faction.
Yeah, see, which doesn't obviously just weird.
I know. You know, he had a wrestling school out here in Scottsdale, right?
Well, from there or live there or something?
No,
like that?
Yeah, but he lived. He lived close by, but he had a wrestling school.
Interesting. Okay.
It was like literally I could walk to it from my house. That's how close his wrestling school was back whenever he had it. Oh yeah.
Huh.
Look up pictures of it. It was just nothing special, but yeah, he had a gym and workout or a ring and yeah, it's training people.
So you got Hogan, like he's outside the ring. This is extremely slow. Like Hogan getting back into the ring now after being outside, like we had, I think, two moves at this point. And again, like people are still walking to their seats. So apparently this was a bathroom break at some point too. But it just very little happening, very little reaction, all of that. A lot of jawing, like just very slow.
Meltzer looks like he's going to get his test of strength here again.
Well, yeah. And so we got Warrior calling for it. It's just weird. And we talked about it last week too. The no Slim Jim this Halloween Havoc.
But yeah, I'm surprised.
Snickers is the sponsor this time. So Pete Zaccarine, everybody knows. And so nowadays, yeah. But yeah, the Halloween. So yeah, this is just so.
Crowd so check. Nothing. Yeah, they're. I just like they don't know what to do. I'm surprised they turned on Warrior so fast. Well, I guess he'd been back but a few months at this point.
Yeah, and he had, and so you know, and seeing him and like, who knows, like. Oh boy, yeah. And so here's the pose again, and seeing that we've seen this gif as well too, with Warrior on his knees, Hogan kind of holding him down, kicking him. Twitter let us know too. I've been behind the scenes looking this entire time to see if there's any other members of the OWN, and I don't think there were. So please let me know.
Yeah, they love their test of strength, don't they?
Boy, this is just one of those. So Warrior slowly, Hogan, well. And for those of you at home listening to us describe this, it's because we don't, there's not a lot to talk about in this exact moment because these guys aren't doing shit. And so, you know, we've now had, I think, two or three punches, some kicks on the corner, and now the test of strength where Hogan keeps Warrior down on his knees. So
I saw they did like a QVC Halloween Havoc t-shirt at one point. Ooh. Like they were selling them on QVC, and apparently it was super successful. I was like, that'd be a really cool wrestling shirt for me to have, and then I was like, all right, I don't need any more wrestling shirts. How many wrestling shirts do you have?
Too many.
Me too.
This is a good topic, actually, so we can talk through this match and have something other than the garbage we're watching.
Well, we got to do a little prep work. I got to at least come up with a couple questions for you.
Right. Yeah, and so I could easily get through a week on wrestling shirts alone. My gym shirt is the Balor Club is for Everyone. And it's not very breathable material, but I don't care. I like wearing it at the gym. And the guy, it's actually, I got to know the guy working the front desk because it was wearing it, and so we started talking wrestling, so I dropped him a koozie, you know, and so we're running the ropes now, a little craziness. Yeah. Here
I mean they're just doing all their spots from the WrestleMania 6 match. That's the only two matches I can ever think where they did that. Remember the
yep. Oh, Warrior no selling too, popping right up. But yeah, so that's my go-to at the gym when I'm doing that. I have a AJ Styles phenomenal one that is, oh boy, a really bad clothesline to Hogan.
I mean, Warrior's like trying to pump up the crowd. They're just having nothing with this. So, I mean, you can see why he wasn't eager to continue his wrestling career.
Yeah. I got at least a 7 shirts to get me through the week, you know. My AJ Styles one is in my heaviest rotation, or that one is my heaviest rotation. And then the shirts that you and I got when we spent our day at the Performance Center, I actually have that one on now. And that one gets a lot of wear as well too. So our property, what is it? Property of the Performance Center. So yeah, it just depends. And then I've got, you know, so I got a Shinsuke one. I remember what, and yeah, I got Undisputed Era. I got a couple different ones. My favorite is the Brock Lesnar Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Repeat. And so I've got that one as well too. So yeah. And then of course our payoff one. So yeah, I've got,
hey, you have a lot of them.
I like you. I got a Shinsuke one. I usually get them around Christmas time. If mom needs an idea, because she'll wait for like a deal and she'll get the email. And so, yeah, but I've got quite a few. Yep.
Yeah, you weren't kidding. Oh, God, a ref bump.
So that was a terrible mistimed ref bump of like Hogan missing, even stepping over Warrior. We got a crowd check here.
I mean, there's not, it's playing. You can't even hear it. That's how quiet it is. There's nothing.
Crazy. Hogan motioning to the back now.
Oh, man.
Well, they're getting on their feet because they're trying to see who's coming out.
Oh, God.
A young giant, a long hair.
Young and fat. Okay.
Anyways. Oh, giant missing the boot and that's hitting Hogan.
Best instead. Thing in this match so far is the clothesline that that Big Show just took.
Hey, who do we got here? I can't even tell. Is it Virgil? That was
yeah,
Virgil.
Yeah, and it looks like Stevie Ray.
Yep. So you've got some members of the Hollywood NWO. It rings. That speaks to, too, like, who is a member? Who are the members of this? So for some reason, Warrior going for a pin, even though the ref is still knocked out.
Yeah, and even though Hogan wasn't even, like, really knocked down so bad.
It's just slow. Warrior looks winded as hell. He doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I see. And so suplex there, back suplex. And again, going for the pin, but the ref slow. Oh, boy. The ref now trying to sell almost better than Hogan and Warrior. And so I don't know, like, what, I don't know where the NWO members went. It's just kind of like gone now.
Yeah, got knocked out.
That was a weird run in. Yeah. So I thought Stevie Ray was okay, but apparently not. So the ref now back up on his feet. Finally. Ugh. Bad kicks as well too. Like just going at each other. You didn't answer your own question. What's your wrestling t-shirt shelf or drawer look like?
Dude, I mean, it's like embarrassing how many I have. Yeah. I have 30.
Yeah, that's you and me both. Yep.
I mean, and half of them I've never worn before because I just see them like, you know, I'll be like,
yeah,
watching a pay-per-view and I'll be like browsing like Homage or Pro Wrestling Tees or wherever. And I'm like, oh man, that's just such a badass Bobby the Brain Heenan shirt. And I never wear the damn thing.
It's I usually wait for the free shipping when they say that, like they buy one, get one for $1 is not a good deal for me, but the free shipping is what I wait for. So yeah, Hogan took off his belt. He was whipping Warrior with his belt. It's like there's not even like a like low roar of the crowd. Too terribly.
Oh God.
Oh boy. Oh, almost looks like I want to say he fell there, but I don't think he did. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hogan, I say selling, not really. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
This is one of the worst pro wrestling matches I think I've ever seen.
Yep. And so. Oh, he knows he's going to
get to his feet. Like, this just screams really, really fake, right? Like, this is, if you were trying to convince someone to like check out wrestling, this is the last match I think you would.
And remember, like I said, like this is, you know, they're trying to recapture their WrestleMania match, which nope.
Like it is not captured.
No,
it is uncaptured.
And we're the alternate universe. We're just, so now we're trading blows. Oh my gosh. And Hogan like falling over after he take. And so now Warrior trying to take off.
So how is the belt not a foreign object?
Who knows, man? It's not in the wrestling book. Oh, crowd got up a little bit on that. Well, there's that one guy standing and he's sitting back down. Okay. And Warrior whipping.
The only good thing is the Warrior still looks like the Warrior, you know, like both guys are in relatively decent physical like appearance.
Yeah.
Although Warrior's winded, obviously.
And we still haven't had, I say, the worst part of this match. Still
oh, I know. Either. I know.
So,
I know.
Here we go. He's going for it. Here we go. And here it comes. So Hogan has grabbed out a bag. He's bleeding or sweating. I can't tell which one.
No, that's blood.
It's blood. He has pulled out. And here it comes. He's trying to light the paper. And, oh, yep. And it just didn't. Okay, so that was a shit angle, but it happened where, and the crowd is laughing.
Yeah, the guy in the bang t-shirt laughing.
And so trying to use the paper, the quick, I forget exactly what's called, but the paper to light the fireball, but it didn't work. It didn't light. And then it lit after the fact in Hogan's hand still. So you got Warrior up on the top rope now. Axe handle. There we go. And we do know, and I
truthfully do not remember how this ends. I just remember the botched fireball.
Yeah, everyone knows, which the angles saved that a little bit, but even that, it would question, like, why the hell was there fire? Hogan taking a terrible bump, like, after Warrior coming off the top rope. Like, this is just, yeah. And there's a low blow from Hogan.
Right in front of the ref.
Yeah, right in front of the ref. Not even trying to hide it.
Oh, please don't tell me this is how it ends.
And big, the leg drop. Nope. And so someone coming to the ring now, you can see the fans. And so this is just, yeah, it's just getting worse in this.
He remembers. You talked about a receipt, right? We could be in the middle of a big receipt.
And yeah, it just, boy, yeah. It's not Warriors.
The fans just don't give a shit about the Warrior. That's part of your problem.
Terrible rope running now. He's bouncing all over the ropes. And so is that Bischoff now who has grabbed the ref?
So why wouldn't he be disqualified?
Right, to hold him. Oh boy, it just, yeah, you almost do it. So there's a chair shot to the back of the Warrior, which is how that one ends. And boy, yeah, it's just, and it was Horace Hogan who had hit come out trying to earn his spot in Hollywood NWO, who hit him. It's the crowd, and again, I'll be quiet here. Is the crowd doing anything?
Nothing.
And so this is Horace Hogan, who is actually related to Hulk. His nephew.
Wow.
And so that, so Warrior laid out now from a chair shot.
Oh my God. Make it end. Okay.
And so now they're spraying what we are.
Lighter fluid?
Lighter fluid. Yep. To make us think they're going to set the Warrior on fire. Don't
do it, just come in with security. It's Hogan hit that lighter in his hand.
Boy, not even Bobby the Brain could save that. So. Okay, let's just.
All right, that's enough.
We're going to stop. We're going to move on. Let's do this.
All right, Jeff, take us to the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well, okay. So, okay. So,
Hold on. Initial question I have for you was that as bad or worse than you expected?
It didn't look as bad at the start, and then it got way worse than I expected by the end.
That's fair. I would agree.
We'll talk about it on our score, but that's what I'll say for now. Yes. So that's,
I was so bad.
So, and that's it. And then it cut. So now for a lot of, like we said at the beginning here, like the broadcast cut off after, for a lot of people after this match, because they did a shit job of like announcing that they were going to go more than 3 hours to the broadcast networks. And so instead of, you know, going 3.5. And so a lot of people didn't see the main event, which was Goldberg versus DDP. And it did have to air the following night on Nitro inside, which we said it popped a rating, but it didn't mean that it was a good thing. And so I'm going to sprinkle in some kind of write-ups on this one, but I will wait until we get to Meltzer and the PW Torch. But this one said, it's hard to believe that the thousands of pay-per-view customers missed the main event of Halloween Havoc 1998 because WCW ran out of broadcast time. By some cruel twist of fate, fans did get to watch the disastrous WrestleMania 6 rematch between the Warrior and Hollywood Hogan, only to see their screens go black just as Diamond Dallas Page prepared to lock up with the undefeated WCW World Heavyweight Champion Goldberg in what was his best match in what was the best match in the October events 11-year span. And so, and again, this is another Sports Illustrated write-up. Saying of that match was, it's a great match. If more TVs carried this match, maybe the Warrior Hogan disaster would be less remembered, which I thought was an interesting way. Like, you know, we've all seen shit matches before, and maybe this main event could have saved us from dealing with that. And so, while they tried to kind of fix this, there really was no fixing this. And so, you had this event. So Warrior is actually his last WCW appearance. It was November 9th, 1998, just a couple weeks after this. It was a Nitro where he just retired. Like, fuck this shit, I'm out. So, and then, you know, that was, you know, 1998. You really had, you know, he had some, I say, off camera, real life kind of issues with a lot of different things. I know we would see him in the news for good and more bad than anything, but really, you know, eventually was included in the 2014 Hall of Fame class, which doesn't feel that long ago that all this kind of happened. But and so he was April 5th, 2014. He was inducted into WWE Hall of Fame. He showed up at WrestleMania the next night. He showed up on Raw the night after that. And then the next night he was dead. And so, you know, just crazy. And I know I texted people when it happened of just like, you know, and Tom read a little bit of his speech at the beginning of this. And no matter, you know, we didn't talk about their outside the ring antics, but, you know, and kind of how they were, you know, things they said and things like, you know, that they did. But this is one where at least it felt like in the WWE, like, after his speech at Raw, he was at peace with everything, you know, good or bad, and it's the crazy things, and, you know, actually changing his name to the Warrior and all that. And so, you know, that was just kind of, and like I said, he was actually, like we said, it was in Scottsdale. So, you know, just it played out sad. Just, you know, there was such a long period where, you know, it just really fell from grace type thing. So, Hogan, though, in another crazy piece of the storyline, went on Jay Leno. Of course, remember the match that they had prior to this. Hogan, and I had forgot this, announced that he would be running for president of the United States. So I forgot about that. And so, of course, they even had a press conference, him and Bischoff, trying to make it seem like it was a legitimate thing, that they were going to actually be doing this. Of course, we all got worked. That was not the case. It was actually, if the, you know, running Jesse Ventura, and to kind of build up a little bit for him in Minnesota. And so they were kind of playing off that. And so Hogan, I think probably rightfully so, took a little bit of time off after all of this, which was probably much needed. And so there was a weird kind of title change. It was actually January early of that year between him and Kevin Nash. And dealing with that, but then you also had the factions coming back together and feuding with Goldberg and the Four Horsemen after that. And so there was a lot. Just a lot of garbage is the best way to describe it. I know you want to get to the reviews, but do you have any thought on just kind of how that played out for, like, you know, the initial aftermath, though?
No, I mean, they just did so many things wrong at that time. It was just very poor. You know, the only defense I can make is sometimes I think we romanticize some of this era of wrestling and forget. Like, for instance, on WWF at this time, they were doing a really shitty angle with like Steve Austin and The Undertaker and Kane, and they had a three-way match, and then Austin had to referee a match, and then that ended without world title tournament at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, and then there was speculation at that time that I was just reading this week that basically Vince didn't want Austin to be as powerful as Hogan was. So he was kind of trying to check him a little bit by getting the title off him. But the reality is they just didn't have many good feuds for him. Like, as great as it was that Austin was your champion, the problem is, who did he feud with? Well, you turned Mick Foley heel and tried to do that. You mixed in Undertaker and Kane, but it's just like they just didn't have great heels for him. So, you know, yeah, this sucked, but wasn't like WWE was, you know, tearing it up with some of their main event storylines either at this time, man.
Right, and that makes sense. Yeah.
So I got to hear what these reviews are, and I have a feeling I'm going to agree, unless I think they sucked more than the reviews said.
So again, I'll start with PWI. Hogan was 53. Warrior was unranked. And so I guess over three matches, he didn't prove himself. So you had that. So I'm going to start with the PW Torch. This is from Wade's write-up. Again, I've broken out pieces of this so we don't have to listen to me kind of go through the play-by-play of this like we used to do, because it just doesn't, you know, we don't need that. So, but here we go. So hope everybody's ready for this. Hulk Hogan pinned Warrior at 14-18. Hogan tried to top Saturn's ambiguous lifestyle appearance, wore a feather boa around his neck as he came to the ring. Call him Hogan the Body. Michael Buffer did not do ring intros for this match. When Warrior entered the ring and his music stopped, fans chanted, "Warrior sucks." Warrior nodded his head, climbed to the second rope, and encouraged his fans, quote unquote, to drown out the chant with cheers. Warrior asked Hogan for a test of strength. Hogan kicked Warrior in the gut to win the test of strength. He then yelled, "Who's the man?" Fans chanted, "Boring." The two did their best to turn it up a notch by doing a crisscross in the ring, another 80s flashback. Hogan body slammed Warrior, who no-sold the move. Hogan went for a pin. Warrior kicked out, and the crowd had a glazed over look on their faces. Hogan went for an elbow, but Warrior rolled out of the way. Warrior went for a splash, but missed. No heat. Hogan then tried to ignite flash paper to hit Warrior with a fireball, but Hogan's attempt failed. Warrior smartly didn't sell the aborted fireball attempt. Both wrestlers stood there stunned, since their game plan was completely thrown off. Warrior began talking to Hogan in the center of the ring, trying to figure out what to do next. They both worked hard, but they don't have it anymore. Their age and their lack of preparation and willingness to take any athletic risk kills any chance they had of being taken as anything other than pathetic icons holding on to stardom beyond their time. Whew, fire.
I think that's very fair. And I don't think that it's not that they couldn't do it. It's that they didn't want to. Those two guys didn't say, "Hey, let's go out there and turn back the clock to 1990 and just deliver one hell of a performance." They didn't give a shit, right?
Let's put it all behind us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're still in good shape, right? It's not like these guys were 60 years old. Like, they're both physically in good shape. Yeah. You might get a little winded, but they just didn't. I mean, there was just no effort. And that was the problem with WCW, is there was no accountability, right? Eric Bischoff, God love him, but he wasn't going to pull those two aside after the show and rip into them. Those two, if they would have never pulled that shit if they were working for Vince McMahon, even at that stage of their career. Mark my words. That's the difference. That's the difference. So as much as people bitch about Vince and, "Oh, he's too this, he's too that, he's too mean, he's too controlling," it's a tough MF'er at the top of your organization that guys are scared of, and they want to make the guy proud. There was none of that in WCW. So they didn't. Why would you put yourself out there if you're those two? I mean, honestly, if you're Warrior, are you going to sit there and really start to put yourself at risk? Now, it would have been nice if they, you know, tried a little bit harder, but They just weren't going to do it. That's the bottom line.
So his score, it wasn't all it was dud, just DUD dud. That's all he did. And so, Some of the contributors there, though, I want to include something. So, speaking of technical incompetence, and this is playing off of the broadcast not working fully, I have to question if that balding man with sagging skin was really Hulk Hogan. I have read that Hogan is the greatest wrestler in the world and is a 20-year veteran of the business, but whoever was disguised as Hogan did little more than TV personality Jay Leno did in the ring recently. The giveaway for me was the moment when Hogan tried to set Warrior on fire. Here's the so-called world's greatest wrestler and a 20-year veteran, and he could not even do something that simple. The paper ignited harmlessly in his own hands. Hogan must have gotten a bad paper cut on his head in the process, since he started to bleed almost as if by magic. And both Hogan and Warrior seem to rely exclusively on clotheslines, but my 8-year-old son puts more power behind his. So,
but it's weird because like Hogan had good matches after this. It's not like he was washed up. I think those two didn't like each other. No one was going to be doing the athletic stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, Hogan, he should never wrestle again. Well, he had plenty of good matches after this.
Yeah. Right.
You watched him against, you know, Shawn Michaels, and that was what, 2000? That was 7 years after this match, and it was perfectly adequate.
Yeah, and like at least, and again, that was like, you know, they were able to do that. You know, they could, like you said, they could have done this. They could have put the time in, and it just wasn't going to happen. Yeah. So where did the Observer newsletter, you know, kind of where did they rank this one? You've got, oh boy, again, Pin Warrior, Jim Hellwig, who if you didn't, or yeah, Hogan Pin Warrior, Jim Hellwig, who if you didn't know, legally changed his name to Warrior. Warrior came out to Warrior, sucks chance. I guess steroids do a number on your hearing, as well as he was acting like they were all cheering him. A comedy of mistimed spots of epic proportions. After the sloppiest ref bump spot of the year, Hogan started beating up Nick Patrick. After more messed up looking spots, Hogan pulled this bag out of his trunks. It looked like some drug paraphernalia, but it was flash paper. Hogan was supposed to throw a fireball at Warrior, but after attempting to light the flash paper in slow motion, he threw the fireball and nothing happened. No fireball. The whole place groaned, and poor Warrior, who didn't have a clue to begin with, really didn't know what to do. This spot will be replayed for the next 100 years. Somehow the paper then ignited for a split second, nearly burning Hogan's hand. He was supposed to throw fire, and somehow ring announcer Dave Pencer was supposed to put his jacket on Warrior, and somehow Warrior was supposed to make a comeback. Warrior improvised and came off the top rope with sledges. Hogan sliced his forehead open. Hogan then threw a low blow and threw a messed up clothesline, but missed a leg drop. Horace came out. Hogan came back with three mistimed clotheslines. Warrior came back with three mistimed clotheslines. Bischoff came out to grab the ref, and then Horace hit Warrior with a chair, and Hogan got the pin. Horace poured lighter fluid on Warrior, and they teased they were going to set him on fire, but Doug Dillinger made the save. Hogan told Horace that by doing this, he passed the NWO initiation. This is the lowest tied for and one of the absolute lowest scores he ever gave at a -5 stars. So, and just a couple other things. So there was a Mr. T Roddy Piper match that got a -5. There was the Junkyard Dog and Moondog spot. You know, just a lot of different things here. It just, you know, just bad. So, you know, where, you know, what do we, what else was said about this? So that was the reviews, but kind of, you know, a little bit more the aftermath, a little bit like, so Gene Okerlund described the contest as, quote, a disaster, comparing the WrestleMania 6 and Halloween Havoc 1998 bouts. Warrior stated, "It's weird that my best match ever was with Hogan, and at the same time, my worst match ever was with Hogan." Hogan felt the contest was ruined by his botching a spot he himself devised, in which he was supposed to throw fire at Warrior. They had a lead, which led to the improvised ending. And then one of the Sports Illustrated writer, this was one of the most unsatisfying chair shots in history. And so, and I just appreciated this. It's a lack of cooperation between the two combatants who did not get along personally and slammed the contest as a quote, passive aggressive wank fest. And so, and Hogan has said over time, it was his fault. Warrior has said that he, you know, pretty much, you know, Bischoff said it pretty much stunk up the joint. You know, all these different things. And Warrior finally, you know, he said like, you know, they used Ted Turner's check to buy me to come back and lose a match to Hulk Hogan. It was repulsive to me when I finally realized it. And if I would have known, I never would have went back for all that money that they gave me. Part of this, and the rumor has always persisted, and I was kind of reading it, and you know, believe what you want to believe here, is that Hogan wanted to get a win over Warrior after all those years because he had to lose to Warrior back in WrestleMania. And so he wanted to, and Bischoff dismissed this, but that, you know, this is how wrestling is sometimes. And I wouldn't put it past him knowing what we know, that he wanted to get the win over Warrior after all those years. And that's where we're at. And so, who knows?
What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely think that's true. Like, I think that he definitely held that grudge for that long. I have no reason to believe otherwise, other than me just, you know, being a wrestling mark, plain and simple. And knowing what we know now, here's a check. And then, you know, them working together, because we know all the backstage stuff that was happening at the time. I'm sure that conversation happened. I'm sure that's exactly how that played out. Like, yeah, I have no doubt. You think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The other thing too is they probably just realized they just didn't have anything with him, right? I mean, you know, tough to work with, couldn't really do much in the ring. The fans just for whatever reason, just didn't give a shit. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if WCW just had different fans in WWF and that was why. I don't know. But I mean, you know, Vegas, it's a normal market. It's not like it was New York City where, you know, they just boo everything just to boo it. But that's the one thing I didn't remember from this match is how he just got the shit booed out of him before it even started.
Yeah, it's really just – it's just crazy. No other way to look at it. So, you want me to go first? You want to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. So I'll go first. So this was, again, a second piece of this Sports Illustrated article that I read. I felt like it summed it up a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. But it said, you know what I love about that first Warrior-Hogan match? The innocence. The fact that Hogan kicks out at three. The cover on the backdrop. The handshake afterwards. It was classic stuff. Years later, this rematch replaces all of that innocence with the weird bitterness of two men who simply did not like each other.
That's right. That's fair.
You said it yourself. Yep. And so there's just so much standing around and arguing and awkwardness and decades long animosity. Warrior barely sells anything. Hogan tries to reference that test of strength thing in the most cynical way possible. I don't want to dig into the politics of whether or not Hogan demanded to pin Warrior and what all went down with Warrior's alleged creative input. But what I do know is that one of the most beloved wrestling moments of all time was dug up for a 14-minute dusty ending. I don't care who you are, that sucks. And so we talk, you know, it's so much of what we do around here, and we talk about it occasionally. It's just like the nostalgia of wrestling and kind of that, you know, we try and recapture some of, like, you know, the good old days of it, if you will. And so the Office quote, like, I wish you knew we're in the good old days before you left them type thing. And so this is one. Ooh, where,
look at you.
I know, you're welcome. I know I'm getting philosophical.
That's deep.
Yeah, no, I'm getting philosophical now. So, but this is one where, yeah, I think that, like, I thought that really summed up how I felt in so many ways, that, like, it was just, and like I said at the start, it's such a shell of what these guys and what we knew them to be, and, like, you know, what they could have done. And so, and like you said, if they had to just put aside their bullshit and all those years, like you said it, like, who knows what we could have gotten? Like, we could have gotten something super special and we didn't. And it was trash, you know, other than maybe the first minute or two where there was really nothing happening. And it was like, you know, our worst fears lie in anticipation. Like, you know, like we had such high hopes for what we could have had and what we were anticipating. And then they just shattered it. And it was just so bad. And, you know, like you said, politics aside, who knows how it was booked or how they talked about it. it, but it just wasn't there. And so I have to agree with a lot of what the other stuff was said, and just I don't know if we've ever gone this low, but yeah, this is a goose egg for me. Like, this is a straight up zero from me.
Because do we even go that low?
Yeah, I get giving negatives or whatever. I'm not going to do that shit.
No. We're not. Like, we're absolutely not doing that.
That bad, and it only got worse to me. Like, kind of sitting watching it. Where by the end, even both of us were like, "God, just please turn it off. Like, let's just move on to the next thing." So, this is a straight zero for me because it just wasn't there.
So I was not aware we could do zeros. I was gonna give it a one, but if you say that it's okay to give it a zero, then I'll give it a zero. It's the lowest you can do because a couple things. Obviously, it sucked. It was really bad. If you ever showed anyone this, they go,
I think your mic's turned down, buddy.
How about now?
Of course.
Can you hear me now?
Lee, you're very quiet.
Switch to my computer mic. How's that?
All right, let's try that. Yep.
Yeah, can you hear me at least?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Well, I'm on my computer mic then. I mean, talk about the shittiest match we've ever covered. It's the first time one of our mics has ever gone out. So we're just destined for this. So anyways, what I was saying is I give it a zero. It's so fake. It's bad for the business. You know, look, I understand these guys maybe didn't like each other, but at some point you have to realize there's people that paid hundreds of dollars to be there. There's people that paid $30 out of their hardworking money to buy the pay-per-view. I'm not saying that, you need to go balls to the wall and leave your body on the line and both bleed, but my God, I mean, put a little bit of effort in, take a little bit of pride in what you do. You embarrassed yourselves. It's horrible for the business. It's just a shame. And it was just a really bad night for professional wrestling. And so it's a zero. The match was worse than I expected. Even if there wasn't that stupid botch with the fireball at the end, it still sucked. That's all I have, man.
Yeah, it just, I'm glad we did it. I hated that we did it too.
So. Yeah. No, I'm glad we did too, because it's a historic in a bad sense, but it's a yep. big moment in wrestling. And I think it's important we cover this stuff. We should cover big match. I mean, again, if you and I want to sit down and find a bunch of five-star flippity flop spot fests, that's not interesting. It's not interesting for us. It's not going to be interesting for anyone listening. But if we want to talk about the stories and the history and revisit some of this stuff and break it down and, that's interesting, right? That's what we need to be doing. And so we got to cover stuff like this. That was, again, historic. This is big historically. Why? Because it's these two. It really sucked. It was at a huge point in the business. So yeah, I'm glad we covered it. And, we don't want to do this every week, but it's good for us to do some of this stuff. Let's find other huge matches that didn't deliver or sucked or pissed people off or were infamous,
Yeah. So we promise next week's will be a better match. We won't do this to you 2 weeks in a row. And so we got a fun one lined up, breaking us into November at that point. It feels crazy, but that's where we're going to be at. And so so definitely at Payoff Pod, where to find us. Let us know about this one. Drop some notes and kind of, your thoughts on this one too, of just how, bad it really was. Or maybe there's somebody out there that for God only knows actually found some bright spots in this match. Yeah, who knows? But I hope not, but weirder things have happened. So, So with that, Tom, send us home, please. Let's put the final nail in this coffin.
All right. Well, as always, even in the trying times like this, thank you for joining us on The Payoff.